It won't beep, but it, oh, she says. Good. But it will tell me how long I've been reading, if I look at it, which is also a good thing to do. It's an enormous pleasure to read for Steve Dickinson, to read with Claudia Keelan, and to have so many friends in the audience, and to read for students of poetry. What a wonderful experience to have people listening who are also considering the craft as they're listening and attending to the sonics as well as the language. So we listen with so many layers of self and non-self when we're fellow writers, whether poetry or fiction. So thank you for bringing your generosity of time here. I know as fellow writers, there's always the question, I could be writing right now. So thank you for coming here instead of writing or instead of thinking about your own writing. So, and I hope that in some way, if some of the work that I read to you supports that, that's the best. It's the best thing. So I'm going to read some from Beyond the Chain Link because it's my most recent book. So that's a good thing to do. But I'm also really delighted that Asada published this book. It's probably in some sense a more personal book than many of my books. In it you'll hear poems about my relationship to my husband and my poems about my relationship to hepatitis C, which is a chronic condition that I continue to carry in my liver. And in it I really try to ask myself about, with full candor, where do the dishonesties lie in that surface of presentation? So in some ways, I hope that the poems double back a bit from their initial response to whatever the situation is and take stock of the movement. When I think about, I struggled with the title, Beyond the Chain Link. What was the title of this book going to be? I won't bore you with the 65 other titles it almost had, because you might leave thinking, she should have picked that one, you know, I don't want to leave you with that. But the reason I settled on Beyond the Chain Link is that it's a wonderful preposition that both suggests that we're looking outside of the situation, but that basically the premise of the preposition is also that we're here looking outside. So it has that sort of two-positioned relationship, as most prepositions do, but this one struck me. So, yeah. And I'll start with the two. Okay, I can find them. No, I can't. Okay, so two quotes, one from James Baldwin and one from Alcmaeon of Croton, 5th century BCE. How many times have I read from this book? And I have all these little notes on how to say that. Probably you could help me with that, Aaron, but how close was I?
Doesn't sound right to me.
Doesn't sound right, yeah. Alcmaeon.
Usually presented as Alcman.
Great. Okay. Take the word. So, but we'll start with the James Baldwin quote, which is going to roll off my tongue better than that did. History does not refer merely or even principally to the past. And from
Alcman.
We die because we cannot connect the end to the beginning. Sense work. Because dusk begins as dirt under my fingernails, I court the dirt, a body. I learn it by watching earth court sky, absorbing each chord of rain into a chorus of groundwater. I hum it low in my throat. In my ears, small bells. My body is wet with the chiming arrival of evening fog. Necessities. fermented liquor of your listening, emptied cup of my vowels. I kept my old comb, its teeth bent to the shape of both our scalps. All sailors in our intricate sentence, but no captain. I showcase for you, but only in a shoebox. Winter months, your cigarette unlit, ambivalent, but without the least hedge of confusion in it. I start from anything, even the vilest word, and this is a study of what strands us. There's that little shift back. So a number of the poems are titled Some Abstraction Says. So this one is Impulse Says. And so I am trying to let, oftentimes if you know my work, you'll hear abstractions rolling around. But I like in this book to have them speak to me more directly, if you call this direct. It's the best I can do. Impulse Says. A little hurt is worth the long, thin fracturing that you can use as horizon. An ignored preoccupation should lick its fur in the opposite direction. Rain will overflood a sewer's grate, stumped and gasping. Every color your white wall receives comes from the concealed world. Warning, the migration will turn just as it threatens to become visible. Strategy, what you can't pass through, let it pass through you, as opposed to making do, which is only interested in repeating itself. Another sense work. I repeat titles throughout the book, which I do in most of my books, and it may be in part because I'm terrible at titles, so I get a few going and that's it, but I also like to think of it as my way of keeping with a piece of language until it actually stops meaning the thing that I thought it meant. So I'll keep using a title like Sense Work until it stops having meaning at all. You know that game children play, and you might say, pencil, 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 and eventually it stops meaning what you thought it meant, or anything. So, again, sense work. I lean on my body hard enough to feel its resin crack. I court the cracks. Squeeze every breach. What leaks is, at its end, stifling and sweet. Patience, patience, the dead animal's smell will be the last trailing hem of outbreath. The body is a cosmos of hidden atmospheres, each with its own ravage to erupt. Every loss is my accomplice. So a number of the poems are related to my chronic illness, but I probably would have to crib you on that, so I won't do it every time, but that was one. Necessities. In through our bedroom window, the full dawnscape concusses. Difficult to sustain sleep's equilibrium of wordlessness. Naming anything is like stepping barefoot in wet sand up to my ankles. Name after name, sinking me farther beneath waking's buoyancy. House this morning is pale with the rush of what night has siphoned off. Objects still emptied of resemblance hum their cordless cantos. Bloodless, my knuckles knock on walls without echo, testing singularities. Sun on the cutlery offers an ageless sheen, though it ages the silver relentlessly. New, but still rudimentary tools are to be gleaned from my overused weaponry. Backward rowing. to examine a dead thing. The unreality of this touching burns. The seagull's breast is cold. One wing lies fully extended, its beak closed. The eye is a still and liquid anonymity. Despite my kitchen precision, I follow the expenditures of gray, limitless in each strewn feather. I travel the small pane behind my ear. I concede to an invasive, but perhaps usable, dismay. Can I taste the canny willfulness of presence, what it repeatedly fails to expose? Have I already entered the blind room, a room of nodding and obeisance? My cheeks are hollow, devotional. My forehead, is it painted red? This small pain behind my ear is contradicting thought. It is an elite usability now. It is the proper distance from which to appreciate a dead thing, to see how it moves. That was another illness poem. You probably got that. Another inventions poem. At sunset, the clouds are thick as poultices. My afternoon of foraging the phenomenal has rendered the hidden medicinals only more invisible. I taste the condensation of pine in the night wind, a migration along bridgeless byways. How am I to travel like stars in their milk robes, like scent, clandestine and everywhere apparent? Tomorrow, I will walk more gingerly among the all-sensing earthworms and all-seeing mud. There'll be sun on my face, a climate to lift crocuses, which certainly was today, wouldn't you say? So now I'm going to have the enormous courage to read all new poems for a little while longer. She says as she swallows. So these poems are in a tightly constrained form. They are all seven syllable segments, and there are six segments per stanza and three stanzas, and then in the last stanza there are two seven syllable segments and then a single syllable. Sounds more complicated than it actually is, but it's a very taut little form, and my obsession with syllables has allowed me to sort of step outside of the thinking process, which seems useful to me. And I've been writing early in the morning, so I just kind of go into this place. So most of them are called want poems, and there's so much I want at this point in my life that seems something about a certain turn of age. The limitations seem so alive to me. But I didn't want to write about limitation so much as invest my experience of limitation in the constraint itself. So that's my argument for doing this. Also, it's just kind of fun when I'm counting away and I can't get a word like incentivizing to fit because it won't fit on this side of the, and I can, you know, so there I'm 45 minutes later and, oh, I can fit it here. Who cares what I've said now? You know, it's right. So anyway, want. Crowded Monday subway, it's mindlessness botanical. You take the first seat, claim it for your age, your figural effaced, your t-shirt smelling already like somebody else's sweat. A toddler is crashing against your leg. His mom gives him a sucker. He hasn't figured out how to fit inside his mouth. You taste the instant's sumptuous pause between confused and choking on surfaces you can't fit your lips around and swallow, incentivizing short-term gates electronically spit you out, your genes passed on, without you in the pool you didn't know how soon would drown you. Want. Handout dollar ready in your pocket. Subway rush hour chimes thick o'clock's outreaching hands. Belonging to your dad. He's in all the unshaved faces you carry, his sack of soiled civility, a fool's pride. Just look how precisely all eye your thin scabbed privacy. Too easily it leaks your paltry cash, your earth-friendly button's blue defenselessness would be more beautiful on the new plasma screens. It looks just like the water no one swims in, their own contracting metaphor for long, before it grays what you highlighted blonde, thought you could change colors, thought you were built of renewing nouns. Want. Bleach trees down to one tree, down to a single inward leaf. Dropped anywhere, it's written, to marry the echo in walls you thought solid. You have a page a day nostalgia for embedded things that perch for you deep in branches, hidden in plaster, where a chirrup and stem is pronounced, but no bird between them, right further into abandonment's cave, carve away what you volunteer as portraiture. A pair of spectacles with bright orange construction paper glued on for eyes injures what seeking anonymity in your granulated sugar poured slow from a bucket onto snow. Want. Bend to cup incoming tide's foam in your palm, the small fly spiraling above your desk. You thought caught in your fist is replaced by a mote of light flickering behind you while you're driving home, but stops if you look back. Mostly you do not exist inside your basic situation, and so you create a bed between two. And you keep the sheets clean. Sometimes prints of boots or prints of high heels will appear just where your next step will be. And yet, could you toss your scarf off into the waves if the gull's shadow hadn't crossed the sand right where you stood? Did you see the actual bird wave diving for what it glimpses? The fiction of knowing that appears so briefly, salt wave pools, and the air pocket your scarf becomes. Could you still wade out to reach it, as if then you would feel real for a time under its damp weight? Just a couple more. Want. What if water is the pure form of intuition, its influence exerted through rain's limpid medium, or steeped in hottest bathwater, lulled neurons shift their secret guises open whenever fog condenses on your cheek, rippling gravitational fields you thought were your hands should not dry out but disappear in exposure to full sun, or waver transparent if you reach for dusk's mimic of thick consciousness, just moisten with a fine brushstroke to make white lilies rise and float on mind's dark pond. Now crouch near its bank. To distract is to allow. Bend forward, fall in through every pore. So one more of these. blowflies up from the floor vent. Yesterday, too. Today, more than 10 throwing shadows from the sensual questions you are unprepared to answer. No odor as yet detected in the basement. Summer stands a little arrears of these afternoon clouds, armed in an array of blue. You pretend sky is a knowledge basin. See it bulge. Why can't you break through? While some philosophies are roomy with ridicule, some offer just one crease in the meaning state to iron out. Others float their dead mice on the vast rippling lens that myopic gods you make up names for. Live inside, for this will not be your last crime. Okay, thank you. Oh, there's the wall.